This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just mean trusting in His power, but it also means trusting in His wisdom. And sometimes that's a lot harder to do with your dua. So sometimes you might feel like you know exactly what you want and you're looking for the perfect way to ask for it. But part of that relationship of trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you actually want Him to give you what's best for you, even if that contradicts what you so desperately are asking for initially. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhumah is a young man who struggled immensely in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father is killed in Uhud, and Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu is left with a whole bunch of debt and seven sisters to take care of. And he's the one who narrates this hadith about the most famous decision-making dua in Islam, which is known as dua al-istikhar. And he says, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَلِّمُنَا الْإِسْتِخَارَةَ فِي الْأُمُورِ كَسُورَةِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach us to make istikhara with all of our affairs in the same way that he would teach us the Qur'an. Now, obviously, if you're reading that, you know that this means that istikhara is very important. But there's a specific messaging here. Just like you resort to the Qur'an, just like the Qur'an has guidance in all affairs of your life, just like you have the repetition of the Qur'an, just like you have the precise wording of the Qur'an, you have Salatul Istikhara. And Imam Ibn Raslan al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he says that what's implied here is that you don't change any of the words of this dua. You don't add to it, you don't take away from it. You say it exactly as the Prophet ﷺ taught it, in the same way that you recite the Qur'an. And he says that clearly there is blessing in the specific wording that the Prophet ﷺ is using in Salatul Istikhara. And Imam Ibn Battar rahimahullah says, the other implied meaning of this is that it is not befitting for the believer to rush into any matter, minor or major, until they first seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. And so istikhara is not just for some major decision in your life, meaning it's not just for marriage and it's not just for trying to get into a particular program. It is for every single element of your life, and that is the relationship of dependence that you have upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says something deeply profound. He says, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that the relationship of istikhara to the affairs of our lives is like the relationship of Qur'an to salah, the relationship of the recitation of Qur'an to every prayer. So basically, life without reciting istikhara is like salah without the recitation of the Qur'an. That's how important this dua was to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is istikhara and what isn't istikhara? So first and foremost, istikhara is not a magic pill. It's not something that suddenly clears the fog and gives you all sorts of clarity and opens the pathways for you. It's also not a dream, and this is probably the hardest thing for people to come to terms with. If you're trying to get married to someone and you pray istikhara and you see them in a dream, it's probably because you really want to marry that person, not because of the istikhara. Istikhara is not necessarily connected to your dreams. It's a dua for guidance, not something that shows up. There are no colors that you see at night that indicate yes or no. There is no such thing as an istikhara fairy. Yes, I've actually heard some cultures where you put yes and no under your pillow and you make dua and then you pick one of the pieces of paper and see which one it shows up as. That's just our desire to always get the direct answer that we're seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But part of our dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the process to Him and giving the outcome to Him. And so istikhara is actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the right way after you have done everything in your power, in your capacity, to find the right way. So basically, after you've done your own homework and you've covered two other bases of decision-making, you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the final blessing. What does that mean? First and foremost, you exert your own efforts and your own thinking to see if this is good for you in your deen and your dunya. Secondly, you consult righteous people. You seek consultation. You do istishara, which is seeking people's advice, to see if this is really the best thing for you in your deen or your dunya. And then you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after your own deduction and that righteous consultation, and you say, oh Allah, facilitate it for me if it's good for me, and take it away from me if it is bad for me. And this is why, subhanAllah, some of the scholars even mention, وَلْتَكُنْ الْإِسْتِشَارَةُ قَبْلَ الْإِسْتِخَارَةُ, that you should seek consultation before you do istikhara, because even when Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that seek their consultation, and then once you come to a decision, then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, no one regrets the istishara of the creation, the seeking consultation of the creation, and the istikhara, the seeking guidance from the Creator. And Qatada rahimahullah said, no one is going to cover these two bases and then not come to a blessed decision. So how do you actually pray Salat al-Istikhara? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا هَمَّ بِالْأَمْرِ فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ, that first and foremost, you pray two rak'ahs. Now, by the way, these can be any two rak'ahs that are not fard. So it could be your sunnah prayer. It could be entering upon the masjid. Some of the scholars said, especially if you combine it with some of the blessed times. So you could do it at Salat al-Duha, for example. And any two rak'ahs that you're going to pray that are not fard, just make the intention for istikhara as well, and then read the dua after you finish those two rak'ahs. And if you make this a daily habit, and that's the implication here, that the Sahaba would do this a lot, where most of us probably do this like three or four times in our lives. If you make this a daily habit even, with your Fajr Salah, right, the two rak'ahs before Fajr, that you're going to pray two rak'ahs and make that dua, then think about how much more clarity you're going to have in life, and think about how much more blessed your decision-making and your decree is going to be. So you pray these two rak'ahs. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, after the salam, you make the following dua. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astaqdiruka biqudratika wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim fa innaka taqdiru wa la aqdir wa ta'lamu wa la a'lam wa anta 'allamul ghuyub. So, O Allah, I seek your guidance in making a choice by virtue of your knowledge. So first and foremost, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of recognizing that Allah knows what you do not know. And so I don't understand the full consequences of my decision. So I've covered my basis, but oh Allah, I'm looking to you for your ilm, for your knowledge. And I ask you by your great bounty. And that is the recognition that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us is from His grace, is from His fadl. And so I'm asking you from your great bounty. And you have power and I have none. So subhanAllah, even if I know what's good for me, I can't pursue anything without your ability, O Allah. So I am recognizing your knowledge, I'm recognizing your grace, and I'm recognizing your power to achieve what I cannot achieve on my own. And subhanAllah, here you say, for verily you know and I do not know, you are the knower of al-ghuyub, the unseen things. Why is this so profound? Because you've done your homework on the seen things, but there are certain elements of even the seen things that you can't see. So, O Allah, you know everything that I don't know about the hidden realities of this decision. And that's tawakkul, that's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because things can check out 100% through the first through basis. But here, O Allah, you are allamul ghuyub. You are the knower of all hidden things. And then you say, Allahumma in kunta ta'lamu أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه. O Allah, if in your knowledge you know that this matter is good for me, first and foremost in my religion. So my religion is the most important thing in the world to me, so anything that I want it to impact my religion positively. If it's going to impact my religion negatively, then I definitely don't want it, even if it's good for me in regards to my worldly affairs. So first and foremost, you know that this is going to have a positive impact on my deen. Secondly, on my livelihood. Thirdly, عَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي, which is the final outcome of my affair, which is the hereafter. So, O Allah, if you know that this is good for me in my deen, in my livelihood, and in my final outcome, when it's all said and done, عَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي, in the hereafter, then three things. ordain it for me. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the qadr of it, which is the decision. So ordain it for me. Secondly, make it easy for me. So make the process easy for me as well, O Allah. Thirdly, bless it for me. So the outcome also, let it have barakah in it, O Allah. SubhanAllah, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the qadr of it, for the yusr of it, and for the barakah of it, for an easy decision, for an easy process, and for a blessed outcome. But then here's the harder part of the istikhara. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ شَرٌ لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي فَاصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي وَاصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ وَقْدُرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانَ ثُمَّ أَرْضِنِي بِهِ. SubhanAllah, this is such a beautiful dua. And even if you say it a million times, if you just ponder on every word, you'll see the blessing of it. In your knowledge, O Allah, you know that this is going to be bad for me in my religion, or bad for me in my livelihood, or bad for me when it's all said and done, then don't decree it for me. So take it away from me, right? And turn me away from it, which means do not let my heart become attached to it. So SubhanAllah, you're not just asking Allah to turn it away from you, you're asking Allah to turn you away from it. Why? Because if your heart remains attached to that thing, then you're not going to have peace of mind. You're going to keep on saying, well, maybe there's still a chance. Maybe there's still a chance. Maybe there's still a chance. Maybe all the signs are not clear, right? So you're saying, oh Allah, take it away from me and take me away from it. And then ordain for me good wherever it may be, which also shows, I don't know where the next khair is. I don't know where the good actually is going to be. And how many times did we think that all of the doors were shut, only to find a door that we didn't even know existed open for us and have what was better for us all along. And then finally, أَرْضِنِي بِهِ, make me pleased with it, O Allah. Because as the scholars say, فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ يَحْصُرُ لَكَ الْخَيْرِ وَلَكِنَّكَ لَا تَرْضَ بِهِ. It might be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates for you what's better, but you are not pleased with it. Now in the previous dua, subhanAllah, you ask Allah for الرِضَى بَعْدَ الْقَضَى, to be pleased after the decree. And that's in general. But here, even with something specific, oh Allah, as much as I want it, if you know it's going to impact me negatively, especially in regards to my deen and my akhirah, take it away from me, oh Allah, and then let me be pleased with that outcome. Let my heart, you know, also have no connection to that anymore. And you'll see this, by the way, with some of the salihin, with some of the righteous, they spoke about this, that they wanted something or someone so badly, and then it was as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their hearts away from it. And that could be a direct result of this dua. Now, the last thing I'm going to say here is, how many times do I do istikhara? Like, at what point do I decide that Allah has closed this door for me? And the answer is, there is no limit to how many times you do istikhara, but go back to your other decision-making mechanisms and try to approach things rationally and approach that same group of people or someone that you trust so that they can help you see things clearly. And that's where you make that decision at that point. You've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a good outcome. And at that point, you know, you make the best decision if the door seems to be closed and you say alhamdulillah regardless. And it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the door for you later, maybe even that same door for you later. And in the meantime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something along the way. At the end of the day, trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something good in store for you. And the fact that He allows you to make this dua is of the most beautiful signs that He has something good in store for you. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, rahimahullah, he said that, قَالَ بَعْدُ الْحُكَمَاءِ, that some of the wise people of the past said, مَنْ أُعْتِيَ أَرْبَعًا لَمْ يُمْنَعْ أَرْبَعًا, that whoever is given four things will not be deprived of four things. مَنْ أُعْتِيَ الشُّكْرَ لَمْ يُمْنَعْ الْمَزِيدِ, whoever is given the blessing of gratitude will not be deprived from increase. وَمَنْ أُعْتِيَ التَّوْبَةَ لَمْ يُمْنَعْ الْقَبُولِ, and whoever is given the ability to repent will not be deprived from acceptance. وَمَنْ أُعْتِيَ الْإِسْتِخَارَ لَمْ يُمْنَعْ الْخِيَرَ, and whoever is given the blessing of istikhara will not be prevented from guidance. وَمَنْ أُعْتِيَ الْمَشُورَ لَمْ يُمْنَعْ الصَّوَابِ, and whoever is given advice is not going to be deprived of correctness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and correctness in all of our affairs.
Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astaqdiruka biqudratika wa as'aluka min fadlika al-'azim. Fa inni إنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم أرضني به